Good to see you here this morning, braving the elements outside and come here to gather to worship the one true and living God. So welcome, special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us, and also welcome to those who are worshiping with us online this morning. So receive this call to worship this morning. Come away from the rush and the worry of the world. Come. The invitation is open to come worship God. We come seeking peace and quiet for our souls. So quiet your heart. God is here with us. Let's lift our voices in singing praises to God who invites us into his presence. Would you join in worshiping in song?
Well, good morning. And I will invite the ushers to come up at the end of this song. The offering this morning is going to TNT Youth Ministries. Start out with the song, Light of the Stable.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this day, for the safety to be here, for the opportunity to gather and corporately worship you. Father God, you are worthy of all of our praise and honor back to you, and we just lift this time up to you. We wish to worship you in spirit and truth today. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in helping meet our needs, and we just ask that you use what we give back to you to meet the needs of others here at the Church of TNT Ministries and of all that the Church supports. Be with Pastor Larry as he brings your word today, and help us to remember not to worry, but to continue to trust in you, because you can be trusted. We thank you for all this, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, well, this next song we sang on Sunday after Thanksgiving. It was Youth Sunday, and it was a new song to me, but it quickly became my new favorite song. It starts out talking about Christmas when Christ was born in the manger, but it goes through all of Christ's life as he died on the cross, as he rose from the dead, and as the church was born through him. And I really like that. It hits everything in there, because Christmas is not the end of Christ's story. And as I heard Dr. David Jeremiah say a few weeks ago on the radio, when he would present the Christmas story and present the cross too, he would get complaints from people who said, don't bring that blood and brutality into the beautiful Christmas story. And he said, you can't have one without the other. It is a straight line from the manger to the cross. And so let's sing this song, King of Kings, and I invite you to stand if you're able.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from the throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Thank you.
response to what Jesus has done is just thank you. always look forward to the new year with hope. And, you know, in light of the circumstances of this last year, we don't know that this new year is going to be any better. And I don't want to be a pessimist. I truly believe that God is in control and that he has our best in mind. And as I heard said on the radio a few days ago, he has yet to make his first mistake. Amen. And there again, as I know from some of the things I went through this past year, we always, worship is always a choice, but sometimes more than others, we really need to choose to worship.
Praise you through the fire, through the storm.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these promises that you give us that we can believe. As we talked about in Sunday school, we know that you are faithful because your promises in the past have come true, and we know that your promises for the future and for the present are coming true one day. Just thank you, God. And just pray your touch on Larry this morning as he brings us your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. Let's continue our worship this morning by having a baby dedication. So I would like to invite Josh and Cassie to come forward. When Christian parents present their child to God before the congregation, they come to thank God for the life entrusted to them, and they come to dedicate themselves to live godly lives and to offer their child back to God for God's blessing on their life together. And we as a congregation come to share in their joy, to pray for them, for their child's well-being, and to receive their child into the care of the church. So Josh, I would like to invite you to introduce your son to us this morning. Wonderful. Good. Well, thank you. He looks like he's wide awake and all ready for this. So I have a few questions I'd like to ask you this morning. I ask you to respond to them. Do you accept your child as a gift from God? And do you dedicate yourselves as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, preparing him to come to an open confession of faith in Christ, and to live your lives as godly examples for your child? And do you promise to gladly surrender your child to the ministry God has in mind for him, even if it might involve going to the ends of the earth? And now, to you, the congregation, do you accept responsibility for the well-being of this child? Will you, by prayer, example, and word, support Josh and Cassie in nurturing Grayson to respond to the grace and truth that are in Christ? If you can say yes, would you please stand to signify that? So would you extend a hand of blessing as I have a prayer for Josh and Cassie and Grayson. So Josh and Cassie, may the God who has entrusted you with this child fill you with love as you raise him. May God grant you to live a life of faithfulness to the gospel before him, so he may know the way to the kingdom. And Grayson, the God who created you, who sent his son to redeem you and his spirit to dwell in you, may this God watch over you, enabling you to seek, to find, and to know him. So we just thank you today, Father God, for your many, many blessings. I pray a special blessing upon the Horst family today. And I pray, Father God, you would give them the tools they need to raise Grayson to be a godly man and to respond to you. We pray that one day he would accept you as his Lord and Savior. So we dedicate him to you today and ask for your blessing upon the Horst family. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. God bless you. There you go. Well, greetings in the name of Jesus as we enter into this brand new year, 2021. So we've just journeyed through celebrating the birth of Jesus and have also crossed over the threshold into a brand new year. So today we're going to be beginning a new sermon series. We're going to be exploring some of Jesus' most challenging, radical, do we really have to follow teachings? I've entitled this message this morning, Do Not Worry. The story is told about two couples that went out to dinner, and one of the husbands began talking about how he was a very anxious person and how he was a big worrier. The wife of the other couple stated that she very rarely worries and is not anxious about anything. To which the worrier said, that worries me that you don't worry. Well, I don't have to tell you that there's lots of people in this world who are very anxious and are constant worriers. I could stand here this morning, I could give you all kinds of statistics about the number of people in our country, about the number of people around the world who suffer from anxiety and worry. But I'm not going to do that because I believe that we all know someone who is a worrier. Maybe that someone is myself or yourself. But think about it. Isn't it ironic today that we have more comforts, we have more luxuries, and perhaps more wealth than ever before, but worry is still rampant? A psychologist made the comment that we live in an age of high anxiety, and here in the United States, we become a nation of nervous wrecks. And that was before COVID came. Now, when I was a young boy, we lived in a farm just north of Bowmansville. We didn't have much in the way of wealth or luxuries. I slept in a bedroom and upstairs in the farmhouse, and when it gave a snowstorm, little snowdrifts would form on the windowsills inside the bedroom. So when you got up in the morning, in a cold winter morning, you didn't hang around the bedroom very long. You jumped in your clothes, and you scurried down to the kitchen to snuggle up next to the stove to keep warm or to get warm. It didn't seem like there was much, if anything, to worry about. I knew that my mother and father loved each other, and I knew that, along with my siblings, that they loved each one of us. Maybe my parents worried about stuff, but if they did, I was unaware that they were worrying about anything. My dad was a farmer, and so maybe he worried about the crops and the small herd of dairy cows that we milked to earn a living. Yeah, some Christmases we didn't have much for Christmas as in the way of presents, depending on if it was a lean year farming. But we had the great gift of knowing that we had loving parents and we lived in a secure and a peaceful home. I'm sure my parents did their share of worrying when my sister was diagnosed with cancer and needed to take her to the hospital frequently for treatments. But one day, my mother had an encounter with God as my parents were driving home from the hospital. She saw a bright light, and she heard a voice saying she, my sister, was going to be okay. Now, my dad, who was sitting 3 feet beside her, he didn't see or hear anything. But my mother had that encounter with God to reassure her that he was going to take care of them. And that's exactly what happened. Today, she's a walking miracle. And when the doctors see her medical records, they marvel that she is alive today. Why did I share all that? Let's take a look at Jesus' words to his disciples in Luke 12, 22 to 31. I'd like to read those verses for us now. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your hearts on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Jesus recognized that even in his day, worry and anxiety was a problem. So he called, no, he commanded his disciples to not worry. Because just like my parents, dealing with my sister's diagnosis with cancer, God was capable of caring for them. So let's explore a little bit further this morning this seemingly impossible to obey command, do not worry. Jesus had just warned his disciples about the danger of greed in Luke 12, 13 to 21. Rather than storing up treasures for themselves, like the parable of the rich fool who was kept on building bigger barns, Jesus told his disciples to be rich toward God and to store up treasure in heaven. As Jesus taught this truth to his disciples, maybe he realized that they were probably thinking to themselves, well, if I don't store up treasure for myself, and if I'm rich toward God and store up treasure in heaven, how will I have the resources to take care of my needs? So Jesus says to his disciples, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, in Luke 12, 22. Now that's a pretty clear command. But perhaps it's the least obeyed command. So you say, wait a minute. Do not worry. Isn't that a part of everyday life? I wonder if a huge part of my worry, perhaps a huge part of your worry, is connected to a fear of allowing God to be in control and to lead us. We worry about where God may take us if we actually give him control. So is worry our attempt to maintain control? I'll allow you to think about that. An old proverb says, worry is interest you pay on trouble before it arrives. I would add to that, not only is worry interest we pay on trouble before it arrives, sometimes, probably, more often than not, the trouble we anticipate, the trouble we worry about, never actually does arrive. So the reality is we end up worrying about nothing. Well, Jesus went on to explain to his disciples why they shouldn't worry in verse 23. Life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Meaning that our lives are far more important than the basic necessities of food and clothing. Our lives are to be lived for God and for his kingdom. We should never reduce our purpose in life to an emphasis on food and clothing. We should be concerned about glorifying God and exalting his holy name. Jesus goes on to use two illustrations from nature to show God's care. In verses 24 to 26, Jesus used the ravens to show how God provides food. And then in verses 27 and 28, Jesus uses the lily to show how God provides clothing. In both cases, Jesus' point is to show that if God provides for ravens and lilies, then how much more will he care for his children? Now here's an interesting nugget. Under Old Testament law, ravens were considered to be ceremonially unclean. And in Leviticus, you can look it up. Leviticus 11, 13 to 15, the Bible says ravens are detestable. Nevertheless, God feeds and cares for them. So Jesus says, how much more valuable are you than detestable ravens? If God takes care of the detestable ravens, he'll most certainly take care of us. The way God provides for us is different from the way he provides for the ravens. He provides for each creature according to its nature. Although ravens do not sow and reap, we do sow and reap. We use our God-given abilities to plan and to work. We can trust God to care for us when we include him in our planning and work by praying and asking for guidance and direction. Then Jesus asks a very direct question in verse 25. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? The answer is very obvious. No one. Jesus goes on and asks us to consider a beautiful lily. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not one, not even Solomon, all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? O you of little faith. Jesus didn't say, O you of no faith. He did say, O you of little faith. So, Seems pretty clear that the answer or the remedy to overcome worry is to increase our faith. How do you do that? Verse 29 says, "And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it." For most of us sitting here this morning, the issue is not whether we have food or clothing. We're very blessed people. God provides us with an abundance of food and clothing. What I believe Jesus is saying is that he will provide or supply what we need. Let me be very clear. There is a huge, huge, huge difference between what our needs are and what our wants are. We live in a very on-demand society. We want something, and we want it now. And when we don't get it, when we want it, then we tend to get uptight, anxious, and or worry. Jesus says the solution to worry is in verse 31. "But seek first his kingdom, and these things, the things you need, will be given to you as well." What does seeking his kingdom look like? Listen closely. Part of seeking God's kingdom refers to making Jesus Christ Lord and King of your life. I said before, a few weeks ago, there's a big difference between allowing Jesus to be your Savior as compared to allowing Jesus to be your Lord and King. When Jesus is your Lord and King, it means that he is involved in every part of your life. Not just Sunday mornings. Not just when you're doing church things. He is your Lord and King when you allow him to control every part of your life. That means your work, your play, your plans, your dreams, your relationships, everything. So the question before us today is, am I earnestly and honestly seeking God's kingdom? Maybe it would be helpful if every morning when we got out of bed, we would read this letter from God. "Good morning. I am God. Today I'll be handling all your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If something happens to you that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it. Kindly place it in the SFJ TD box. Something for Jesus to do. But remember, I will address it on my time, not your time. Once the matter is placed in this box, do not hold on to it or attempt to remove it from the box. Holding on or removal will only delay the resolution to your problem. If it is a situation that you think you may be able to handle yourself, please consult me in prayer to be sure that is the proper assumption. Because I do not sleep or slumber, there is no need for you to lose any sleep. Rest, my child. If you need to contact me, I'm only a prayer away. Signed, your Heavenly Father. Avoid worry by seeking God's kingdom. We seek God's kingdom by looking for and finding ways to be God's hands and feet in our everyday lives. We seek God's kingdom by asking what or how we can spread God's love every day God grants us breath. Do not worry. I read an interesting article about worry that was entitled, Overcoming Anxiety, Finding Peace, Discovering God. It was written by Paul Bucknell of Biblical Foundations of Freedom. Their mission is to move our generation's hearts and minds closer to God. He commented that the roots of worry stem from someone's heart and not from outside circumstances or pressure. He also stated that most cures for worry only cover up the real problem. The world's treatment for worry only manages it. It doesn't bring true healing. So, what brings true healing? If God commands us, do not worry, then it must be possible to live a worry-free life, right? Must be possible. I'm becoming more and more convinced that the Bible is God's holy word and it is filled with truth. Would you agree with that? So I wonder what would happen if we completely and wholeheartedly applied God's holy word to our everyday lives. If we applied scriptures like Philippians 4:4-7. Turn to it if you have your Bible with you, or bring it up on your phone. Probably most everyone sitting here this morning has heard this scripture numerous times. I'd like to read Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Does that sound familiar? Remember that from last Sunday? Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So here's Paul, sitting in prison. And he's writing this, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. rejoice. I'll say it again, rejoice, he says. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Gentleness, I believe, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Gentleness is something that should be growing in my heart, in my life. Gentleness is something that should be evident to the people around me every day. The Lord is near. So because the Lord is near, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, and here's a key, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, with an attitude of gratitude, present your request to God. If you do that, earnestly, honestly, presenting your prayers, your petitions to God with thanksgiving, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what everyone's looking for? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that's going to guard our hearts and our minds. So imagine not being anxious or worried about anything. That probably seems or sounds impossible. But my Bible also says, with God, all things are possible. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, Jesus is interacting with the rich young fool, and the disciples were asking him, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and he said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So, what I'm presenting, submitting, suggesting to you today is we've just entered into a brand new year, and I know that people make New Year's resolutions, and I'm not a big fan of that because it only takes a matter of time and they're back there and you're up there again. Let's apply this. Let's apply this to our lives. Let's turn our worries and our anxiousness into prayers. Let's do it with thanksgiving. And let's also allow the peace of God, which transcends, I can't explain it to you. You can't explain it to me. It transcends all understanding. But that peace of God can fill our hearts and our minds and guard our hearts and our minds. I think that would be a great way to begin a brand new year and to follow through. Anytime you have a worry, get on your knees. Present it to God with thanksgiving. See what happens. You know, our tendency is to, well, okay, that's what the Bible says. So I get down on my knees, say a quick, short prayer. That didn't work. What I'm saying is, God will honor someone who is persistent and truly, truly desires to have his peace fill your heart and your mind. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your word. And as we enter a brand new year, 2021, we do indeed thank you for this word from you, helping us to understand how to overcome worry. I ask in the strong and the powerful name of Jesus Christ that you would give us the ability, that you would help us to follow these instructions and to sincerely and truly come to you with our prayers and our petitions and with thanksgiving in our hearts so that we can live our lives with our hearts filled with your peace. I pray this and I ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I invite the worship team to come and lead us in closing song. of a God who's been faithful in the past, he'll be faithful tomorrow as well. So I want to inform you that Betty Miller is in the hospital. She's at LGH. I believe Donna is in there with her this morning. So I just want to have a word of prayer for her this morning as we close. So would you stand for this time of prayer and also for the benediction? Father God, we do indeed thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you care for us. And you provided a way for us to know you and have a relationship with you. So I just want to lift up Betty to your throne of grace as she spends this time in the hospital again. I pray, Father God, you'd be very close to her. And I ask that you would give her your peace. The future may seem very uncertain for her right now, but we know who holds tomorrow, and we know who holds our hand. Please hold her hand, that she may feel you holding her hand and being present with her right now. Bless Donna as she's with her, ministering to her right now. And now receive this benediction from 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.